Okay, my name's Kevin Greff. I'm with WJFF. And my daughter here is the engineer for that, Anna Greff. And we have a Thursday evening group that meets once a week. And we do various interviews. We interview authors of books, children's books. We also interview local characters. One of the pieces that I have queued up is a more finished, polished piece we did on Black and Whites, which was a Livingston Manor drama club. To give you an example that we'll do later, what the kids have been doing in a really polished form, this one. This one, I think, but Jesse, you put about 8 hours into that one.
Yeah, I put about 8 hours in, and then Jason came in and stayed the whole night for 5 hours straight working on it, so there's a lot of time in that one.
Some of those are not practical. But in any case, and those stories and the things that we do with the Thursday group airs on a regular Tuesday evening program called Making Waves, and it's a radio format, radio magazine. And so it's a variety of pieces. They don't have to be related. It's not a theme, which makes it really nice. So, you know, we can incorporate a lot of this stuff. And Ginny Brown will be co-presenting.
Yeah. Honestly, I think there are people in this room who have, you know, as much experience as Kevin and I, or certainly more than me, in youth radio. So we thought we might make this more of a discussion-based thing. So I guess, you know, just keeping that in mind, I'll talk a little bit about the project that I've been doing this summer. I'm with KCSB in Santa Barbara, and we have had a radio project there. We had one last summer. I wasn't part of it, but it was pretty much in conjunction with a university outreach program called Upward Bound, and it's first generation. I don't know if they have do they have Upward Bound on the East Coast?
They do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of first generation students, almost all students of color, a lot of low-income students in the Santa Barbara area, and so they came in a couple of days a week. It was somewhat informal. And what we decided to do this year, this summer, was make the project into a 4-day-a-week, literally a classroom kind of a thing. It was we tried not to call it a class, but we couldn't really think of another word for it, because for a lot of these students, it was part of this Upward Bound project, that Upward Bound program that they were doing for the summer, and they were up early in the morning and, you know, taking classes all day. But anyway, we did different topics every week. We did media reporting and war, gender and sexuality, youth cultures, youth struggles, and we showed them videos of some media that youth have produced, friends of ours, other things. We started off with Manufacturing Consent, Noam Chomsky's thing, and I don't know if that was the best idea. I think a lot of them kind of fell asleep, but that's another story I guess we'll get to. So maybe if we're just quickly going around and giving a little bit of what we're doing, then we can go into more detail.
Yeah. Is Heather? Is it?
Jill,
I'm sorry. Jill's going to join us.
Oh, you want me to start?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm Jill Hapke, and I'm the news and public affairs director at WORC FM in Madison, Wisconsin. And we're very early in the stages of developing a youth radio program. We've been doing research, and we have a committee, and things kind of stalled for a while, but this summer we were fortunate to get a youth intern who actually also works on our Spanish language news program, Andrés Trocadio, and so he'd already been involved with the station, and then there's a Latino community center in Madison, and so they did the internship program and were able to sponsor him doing an internship at our station, so he's been doing a lot of work helping us, and we're organizing a youth radio week that is going to be in late October in conjunction with the larger Positive Youth Involvement Week happening in Madison, a kind of coalition of groups that work with youth and schools. So we're kind of tagging along with what they're doing and having this week that's going to coincide with all of their activities. And so we have this youth intern that's helping us organize this event, and we're going to be sending out a mailing the first week of school to different organizations and asking youth to participate and having them come in, do some trainings. And we're basically, what we're doing for the week isn't doing a youth radio program, but we're going to be matching up local youth with our programmers to help to produce their programs, or having programmers volunteer. Like if some of our programmers that have a live call-in program would volunteer and have the youth pick the topic, and then what they'll do is go through the whole process of doing radio, kind of like a mentoring relationship with some of our programmers. And so that's what we're planning as kind of a first step of building interest in our community. And we have some high school age students that volunteer at our station now in pre-existing programs that aren't geared for youth, but very few actually. And so that's something that's really missing from our programming. So then after this, we're hoping to have this be a starting point to have, say, we did this one event, now we can go apply for more grants. We got a small grant to help with this. And then hopefully have a core group of youth that will want to produce the program and help us shape really what the program will look like, rather than us saying, this is what we think you should do, and hopefully having a group that will form and come up with what the program will look like in more concrete, you know, form, and then hopefully at some point within the next year, get a time slot, get more. We're looking at getting grant funding to fund a part-time staff position to coordinate and not produce the program, but to do the training aspect and outreach and just do the coordination. So we kind of looked at what other youth radio programs across the country are doing and realizing that we need to apply for grants and get some infrastructure before we get the program going so that we can sustain it. So that's where we're at. We're pretty early in the stages of this. We don't have an actual program, but we're gearing up for this big event in the fall.
Thanks. Heather, did you want to talk about what you're doing right now?
Sure. My name is Heather Camden, and I'm from WERU-FM up in Blue Hill, Maine. And I'm actually there full-time as the youth radio coordinator. And speaking to what Jill's talking about as far as grants, I'm there because the general manager, Matt Murphy, wanted to institute a youth radio project. And of course, it was more than any of the full-time staff or volunteers could really commit to in order to offer something that was sustainable. So what he did was, we've got an organization that's statewide called Communities for Children, and they're interested in working with youth, providing services for youth, whether it's low income or at risk or just, you know, the overall umbrella of youth. And they'll do different programs, from ensuring that there's constructive after school activities to suicide prevention to anti-tobacco campaigns. Anyhow, Communities for Children within the state of Maine oftentimes works in conjunction with AmeriCorps Vistas and places AmeriCorps Vista volunteers in different organizations throughout the state. Matt caught wind of that and said, maybe we can get an AmeriCorps Vista to fulfill the role of youth radio coordinator, use their energy for a year so that we can actually build a sustainable infrastructure. Because I think that when we're talking about youth radio programs, that's one of the key concerns, is that you can be very ambitious with all of the programming that you want to offer and all of the different ways that you want to involve youth, but youth need a lot of support, and there needs to be some structure there. And I think that before you bite off more than you can chew, you really do want to have that sustainable infrastructure. So I've been there as an AmeriCorps Vista youth radio coordinator since this past November. And even so, having been there almost a year, and the term of service is usually just 1 year, it feels like we're just getting started. We've had the benefit of me being there full time is that I've had an opportunity to do trial and error, figure out what works, what's sustainable, and what requires more input on the part of a full time staff person than is necessary. Because our overall goal, or our mission, so to speak, of the Youth Radio Project is youth empowerment through direct media access. So long term, the ideal would be to not have to not have me or to not have anybody hands-on doing as much planning and direct service, but rather to be able to have a model that supplies the tools and the training and a basic structure, and then having that be accessible by young people. What we've done so far and what we've tweaked, figuring out what's working and what's not, right now we produce a live monthly call-in talk show. It's our live team talk show. We have a basic format, but the team panelists inform the topic, inform the discussion, and basically control the talking points. Thus far, I've been the host of the show, and that's more for continuity's sake. But as we get a regular core of committed youth, I think that it's really important to have them actually be in the air, on the air, you know, no adult agenda, no adult voices in there, but just youth hosts, youth panelists, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This past year, what happened was different groups would catch wind of the opportunity to be on the air, and so we'd have a journalism class from one high school or a healthy community coalition that worked with youth from another county say, oh, you guys have a live teen talk show, we'd love to go on the air. And that was great, and what we would end up doing is working with them, but we found that it was not ultimately sustainable because you put a lot of energy in to building group dynamics and facilitating a discussion, and then they'd have the 1 hour on the air, and then you'd never see the kids again and you'd never talk to them. So it was gratifying for that group during that one time, but it was not ultimately empowering, and it wasn't building towards anything. And it wasn't a sustainable use of our energies. So what I'm doing this upcoming school year, academic year, is I've made contact with a number of different schools in our listening area, and working with the community members and the administration, we are, a lot of our high schools in our area, I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but more and more, there are community service requirements in order to graduate from high school, which is a way of ensuring that youth are getting out in the community and having more opportunities to connect and build community. What we're doing is we're pitching the idea of being involved in youth radio as a way to meet that community service requirement, but it's a thrilling, empowering way to do it instead of like, oh gosh, I gotta go dig ditches on the side of the road. And what we're going to do is offer a weekly club at two different high schools, and I'll be there to facilitate a planning process, and we're going to go just grab a calendar, look at a six-month calendar, and talk about all of their ideas for topics, and then we're going to bring the two school communities together once a month at the station to go on the air and plan a show. But basically, the model that we're transitioning to is instead of working with isolated groups for just 1 month shots, we're going to work with two groups from two different high schools over the entire academic year, and they're going to be able to take on different roles during that time, from engineering a show to hosting a show to being a live on-air panelist to doing some, you know, production and field recordings. So I would say that if you're looking for how to create sustainability in your youth radio project, even if you're just getting started, look into AmeriCorps, because it's a surprising resource, but it's been working. And when I was at the NFCB conference in this past April, I was talking with some other budding youth radio projects, community radio stations, and they were looking for funding and grants through AmeriCorps. So that's a great way to get somebody in there full time to really build something. And you can always renew your grant. I'm actually going to be there for another year as an AmeriCorps. So if you find that you're getting to the end of your year and you're like, we've only just begun, there's a little flexibility there. So
thanks, Heather.
Yeah.
Doug, do you want to talk a little bit?
Yeah, sure. My name's Doug, and I'm coming from New York, WBAI. I help coordinate the youth activist program there. That's weekly. It's an hour long. And we started several months ago. I wasn't there at the beginning. We started as actually a 15-minute slot in a program, Wake Up Call. And we graduated to half an hour slot and suddenly moved up to an hour a week, which is a lot of time. Getting right into things,
we're struggling with a lot of the same structural issues that Heather and Jill mentioned, and that we share, I'd say, similar goals in terms of creating a sustainable infrastructure and the adults that are now ever present, you know, being able to pull out completely if possible. So I was really interested by some of the things you said. For example, we're gearing up and planning to do a training in partnership with a local independent media center in the spring. And we haven't formalized our outreach and the sort of the long-term plan, i.e. how the training will be utilized. But I was interested about what you said about the way that people can cycle in and cycle out, and you can potentially, you know, really connect to people and empower them, and then they can disappear. We have a lot of turnover as well. And I guess we haven't really formalized any way to really address that, partially because I'd personally be reluctant to do so without youth leadership on that issue. Anyway, we were starting this training program with Independent Media Center, the notion being basically to ground the approach to radio in kind of a community journalism curriculum, and a very accessible one at that, and also to allow youth more than one outlet. They can get involved in the Independent Media Center, which also has the common goal of wanting to bring in youth as well, you know, write for the newspaper in addition to or in preparation for the show. Right now, as I was saying, we do have a lot of turnover, and so it's interesting because it's just so different week to week, you know, and I'd say a lot of the outreach we do is really, it's almost really around the issues. In other words, it's via the work that activists are doing in the city, the young activists are doing in the city, so it's really connecting to the groups, the coalitions, and you know, basically drawing people out who have the common goal of wanting to learn community radio as well as publicize and promote the work they're doing. And you know, I think that I like the way that works, but I guess I'm still, and this is more of an open question than a lecture, as you can tell. I guess I'm still, along with the collective, struggling to see what kind of relationship we can have with groups and how that ties in to the goal of sustainability. We want to remain perpetually open, but I do like the idea of having some sort of regular relationship. So it really is a question of striking a balance between being able to incorporate people that are either ready to go right away, and you know have this great topic that they want to bring to the air, or have the enthusiasm and are ready to jump in, but also having continuity, respecting the audience to that degree as well. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's just kind of those are some open questions. I'll just kind of relinquish the mic for a moment.
Well, I was thinking maybe, you know, we're all, I think that our thoughts here were kind of that instead of saying this is how to do a youth radio project, maybe more accurate representation would be the fact that there are so many different formats for this, and, you know, that's why we just love to get people talking about the different kinds of things they're doing, and I think people would love to hear from you two.
I'll set that up, if you okay.
Oh, so you're going to play the...
Yeah, well, we have a few things here, and then,
okay.
Go ahead, never mind.
No, we can play...
I had something in mind to set it up differently, but that's fine, you're doing
well.
No,
we can play that now. No, okay. I mean, should I...
All right.
Do you want to introduce
them? No. I don't want to play a piece yet. I thought we were going to go to the kids and let the people that want to ask the children questions about what they're doing. Anna is part of a group called the Catskill Kids Show. And the Catskill Kids Show is made up of, about 5, 6 children? So why don't you go ahead and just tell us about it?
Possibly Anna could introduce herself.
Yes, yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Okay, I'm Anna Graff, and I do the Catskill Kids Show. And I produce it with other kids who do shows, but like kids are interested in. Well, not really teenagers, but more like kids around anything more than a teenager. And because we have a show that is a really big hit, Cooking with Andre, and it's a show that they do monthly that talks about different ingredients and how to make them, and it's made up with like 4 or 5 different kids, and they make it funny, and instead of a serious thing that they just play out on you. And we also do a dinosaur thing where they talk about dinosaurs, and that's also made up to be funny too. And also they also do a robotic review, and we also have a show that has that talks about composers, and we have a lot of animal shows, and there's one that talks about it has interviews, and it talks with veterinarians and people who like animals. And we also have another animal show which talks about animals that need to be adopted, and sometimes they do interviews with them. And we also have another animal show which talks about animal information, and I think that's it. And sometimes we put in a little music, and sometimes we have plays, which the kids do. That's about it.
Can I ask a question? How did you get involved? Is it called Catskill Kids?
The Catskill Kids Show.
Yeah, how did you get involved?
Well, there have been other producers which I got involved with, and I was always helping out, hosting it with them. And soon they had to do other things, and I became the producer.
So do you do the board?
Yes.
Yeah. And do you think there's, when you move out like the other producers do, that other kids will take it over?
Yeah.
Are they already standing in line to do that?
Yeah.
Question. Now, the people, obviously there's somebody, you have a youth coordinator and somebody does this, but is there a lot of training between the kids? Like, oh, let me show you how to do this. Is there a lot of that in your group?
Yeah.
That's good.
And we have this one kid who insists on trying to record, and she does it pretty well right now. And the kids are learning too, along with her.
How do you plan your shows? Like, what does it look like to plan your shows?
Well, we do the same thing every month. So, and the kids, they write out their stuff on a piece of paper, and then they just record it.
You pre-record?
Yes, we pre-record.
Okay, and you, do you like do all the work, all the creative work and the recording in the same session, or do you like meet, talk about the thing you're gonna do, and then go away and work? What's the?
Yeah, that's what we do.
You meet. And
yeah.
We meet. How many times do you meet a month?
About 3 times.
So every week basically, and then you have your show.
Yeah, it's just monthly though.
If you could change one thing about the show that bothers you, what would you change?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Wow.
The show's completely perfect in every way?
I like it a lot.
Yeah?
And I think it's really good and doesn't need anything to change.
Good.
Who listens to your show primarily?
People.
Well, do you think it's young people, old people, a good mix?
Yeah. I heard some comments from adults too, and they listened also.
I guess that's a general question I have for youth radio. Is it, well, I guess two questions. How young do you have to be youth? Because you all look young to me. but also, is youth radio for youth to talk to other youth, or is it for youth to express, you know, their ideas to the general society so that the rest of us will know what's going on? What was it, both or what?
I can answer that a little bit in our context.
So.
In that one. I think youth radio is a way for you to tell their story and to let people know what's going on with them and how they're affected by what adults do and how they interact together.
So it's to society, to
yeah, it's their way to express themselves. I think it's great. I think we've just started our youth radio project about 3 months ago. But we've always had some youth involvement in the station. To come across people who are unique and young, and it makes you feel like there is hope, and it's really refreshing. And I think that we're expanding our program even more as we go along. But I think people, this is an excellent program. I really love what you guys are doing.
What kind of programming do you do?
Okay, I guess we're calling it Teen News. Is that the name of it? There's been a couple names flown around. I couldn't figure out which one stuck. But basically, we tend to be a bit of an older group, 14, 15, 16. I think our youngest member, what is he, 12 or 13?
Yeah,
he's about that age. So we tend to be for the older teenage years, but... we do interviews and stuff, just like a normal adult news program would. It's kind of feel like it's almost a step off into it.
How do you choose your topics for that?
It really comes down to, I believe, what the person's interested in. Because if you don't like a topic, you can't do an interview on it.
Right.
I've sat through a couple where it's like, just falling asleep. So we really, I think, have to go by, if the person is interested in doing that topic, then they'll do that topic. If they're not, then we either don't do it, or maybe someone else in the group is. I think our biggest problem, though, is sometimes membership, because it's hard to coordinate getting people there at the same time every week, etc. There's a lot of competing organizations. I mean, the fire department, which has their meeting the same exact time that we do. So there's a lot of competition for our time. And people say you sit around all day. Mm-mm. No. What else do we do? We do basically anything from going right out into the field, like I was at the Jeffersonville Jamboree a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I think it was last weekend. I was walking around doing some field recording there, just on the spot, anybody who would look interesting, going up to them and asking for an interview. Or we sometimes do the formal ones where, like, an author or something will set up weeks in advance and call them at the dedicated time and do an interview over the phone. So we get a real mix of just nice on-the-spot things, or sometimes we'll script things right up. Yeah. Black and Whites, the piece you'll hear later, is something that we went in, we didn't really have a definite plan. We had some baseline questions, but we didn't have a definite plan on how we were going to do it. We interviewed a lot of people, basically, I believe the majority of the cast, including the directors for this play, and then later went in and compiled it and Jason Dole over there. He also helped with this. I don't think any of it could have been done without, you know, but, and that's how it came out. We just went in, dug right in, and try and figure it out later.
How often are you able to meet as a group, like, at, separate from, you know, getting interviews and stuff like that? I mean, do you meet together and then talk about...
Thursday nights, weekly, yeah. We try and meet. It's been a little choppy lately, I believe, because of preparations for this event and others, but other than that, yeah, we try and meet weekly, especially during the school year, I believe that's right, yeah. Yeah, school year seems
to be much better.
Yeah. Well, summer everyone's on vacation, so it makes it a little difficult.
Do you have any special programs to integrate new people into the group?
I believe once in a while you're out doing some recruiting when there's a youth event, right? You go out with try and recruit. But, that's our big weakness. We have to really develop some of our recruiting program, I think.
I chased Jesse down in the parking lot.
Yeah, he did. He was unloading his boxes for recycling, and he comes, hey, do you want to join this? I said, sure. So.
This is one of Kevin's biggest gifts to the radio station, whether it's youth or any other type of programming. He's really a catalyst for just getting people at the radio station. Mm-hmm. He sees somebody at a store, and just conversations happen, and he'll grab people. One of the main people that helped organize this event, you know, got involved with the radio station, because Kevin said, can you take this coffee to the radio station? The youth program that Jesse's part of is really... I feel it's kind of just getting started, so it's been more of an organic process so far, and they were meeting pretty regularly during the school year, and it's fallen apart somewhat during the summer for the preparations for this, but I think we're going to try to get it to be a bit more of a, I don't want to say regimented thing, but like a bit more of an organization. It's been pretty organic, just like whoever could come at whatever time, and whatever event's happening, and whatever the people are interested in. And that's what ends up happening. And we have, I don't know if Kevin said, but we have various programs on JFF where there's room to put things. So it's not like there's a weekly show that this youth program produces for specifically, but there's other programs like a magazine format and an independent producer format that whatever they produce, it can go on.
I do have an outline of what we started with. We got money from the Sullivan County Youth Center to help kids at risk. And if there's an alternative youth school, alternative school in Youngsville, it's a town down the road, about 3 miles. And we had this idea how we were going to do it. The first attempt at it was to mainly do a lot of studio work, working in the studio. And some of the kids needed to kind of get out of that studio, you know, and especially if you have 4 children in one spot for any length of time, you know. Well, Jason can tell you about that. but this was a plan that I had that failed. Don't copy this one.
Can you speak to why it failed?
Yes. What I did was, my initial idea was to have them do some interviews. First we did some training, and the training was in studio, interviewing themselves, each other. Learning techniques, learning how to use the microphones, how to do an interview, basic. And I have something I brought here that kind of represents that. And what they did was, to start, I had them become different characters. They weren't themselves. One was a rock star, and the other one was this famous TV journalist, right, doing this interview. And so they felt comfortable with that. And of course, they got very creative. And then the next step was they were themselves interviewing each other. And then from there, we did interviews of their peers in the school. And so they did that. And they interviewed their teachers, they interviewed their fellow students, and they chose topics of, you know, drugs and gangs and things like that. After that, we went into the field, and what I wanted to do there was to introduce them to people who had a passion for what they were doing. That they were actually doing a job they just loved doing. And so we interviewed sculptors. We interviewed, that was our first one, who used to work in the human services field. So I kind of contacted him and let him know what was happening. He was really great. He's a wood carver right downtown Main Street. And then we interviewed, I'm not sure the order here, but we did a bunch of them. One was this energy healer. She had a real passion for, she was an accomplished jazz pianist. And she was into energy healing, in which you lay down underneath the piano, right? And she feels your vibes, and she starts playing the piano, and of course she rearranges your chakras and things like that in your room. And you go out of there feeling better, right? Well, that really blew them away. That blew them away. They it was a wow.
Did the deco on the air?
Yes, I think. Did that just happen? Oh, are you still working on that?
It's halfway there, you know. And this is part of you, Kevin, me, and talking about, because you're saying like what failed about it, and.
But yeah, that's the.
I'll say with this one, there's sometimes there's technical things, not for that one. For that interview, it was great because their shield that they put up, this particular group of kids, was really punctured by this experience where they're really finally like, wow, you know, and they're kind of laid out.
Just an aside, the people that you interviewed who had tremendous job satisfaction, were they all self-employed or
something? Yes, in a sense they were. Yeah, they were like business owners who were starting for the first time doing a business and really excited about it.
Yeah.
But that...
Did it get on the air?
Yes.
No, it didn't.
Not that particular piece.
Oh, actually, I played excerpts from it on air, but as a complete piece, no. It's a bit difficult because there's these very long improvised jazz pieces that are like 5 minutes long at a piano. And the best way to do it would be have each person's reaction to it, the four kids that did it. And they're not all recorded the very best. Like some of them got missed, the microphone got turned off, and it's... So that, and that kind of ground to a halt.
And that was our staff that did that. But any case... I want to get to the part where things kind of collapsed on us. And that part was the editing. Getting into the room and sitting down with them and having them, okay, now this is the creative part. This is the most important part. This is where you know, design this piece. You got to have this piece in your head. You got to listen to it, and you got to listen to it, and you got to put this in your head. And then... from there, you'll have this piece, and it'll come from you. And that is where we failed miserably, because we couldn't get them to sit down together. We didn't have enough space where we or enough equipment to separate them and show them there was not enough of me to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's where I really failed in that area.
Just going to that specific thing, what is there anything you can think of that would have made that more successful? What would have helped that?
One-on-one.
Really?
Yeah. Again, but remember, this was students at risk. Mm-hmm. We did this because we got the funding to do it, and we really did want to do it. I mean, it sounded like an exciting thing to do. And it was a very big challenge for us in the sense that, one, these kids didn't particularly care to be there. So you always had to appease them, and you had to keep them entertained, and you had to make sure that, you know, they didn't break anything, and, you know, so that was a challenge. But we did, I think, succeed in in getting their interest and capturing their interest in radio. There's some that, you know, of course, left. They didn't come back, and some would come sporadically. But we did have a few that were steady, and they did enjoy what they were doing. But, again, they were you know, they didn't have the, I'm trying to think the German word, the Zitzflash or something where, yeah, to sit down and focus and work on a piece for any length of time. And we only have an hour and a half with them. And we do that twice a week. But again, I think if we had, because we had, usually had four people at a time, and if you got, and you try to pair them up and work together and show them here, you know, that worked a little bit. There was a little bit of success in that, but again, there was the narration that needed to be done, and there was one person that could do that really well. And some were really shocking when they came so prepared with their questions and everything else, and it was like, smokes. and then, but again, the editing part was very difficult because there is a lot of material that you get, and there's a lot of material that has to be, you know, sifted through. And
it's hard for them to grasp the abstract thing involved, where it's like you got to break down. And towards the end there, I really saw them getting it. And what I did was to get them to kind of get it. The two of them went in there one day, were just really screwing around and being rather bawdy, and they recorded this interview between each other. And I took it and I cut it up, and I made them say things that they did not say. And I played it for them, and you know, and they were listening, you know. And then like 10 minutes later, we moved on to something else. And he's like, how'd you do that? He's still thinking the whole time. He's like, why are you... You know, and then he really got it. You know, all of a sudden he really. So then we were doing things, and he got the abstract where it doesn't have to be linear. They were dealing with material where it's like, hi, I'm here with so and so. You know, and he flubs the person's name and it says, you know, what do you do? And then like after that one thing, and the guy started to realize like, well, we don't have to have him on the microphone saying I'm here with so and so as he's interviewing so and so. He can narrate that in the studio now. You know, and like so taking things out of time. And rearranging them, which what the process of editing and narration is. I'd just like to say, kind of like to answer what you were saying, and it relates back to how this went with this particular group of kids. You're saying like, what is youth radio? It's for to address their concerns, or what is it? We kind of have these different groups at GFF that fill these different things. They each get something different out of it. We've got the younger kids, and they do. Pretty much what they're interested in. Their segments will be, you know, funny, or they'll do like an animal concern thing, or they interview somebody that interests them. And we have these older guys that are doing a bit more of the news type of gathering, doing stories, like Jesse's group. And Layton, I don't know if we mentioned it, but like we have one show a week where it's called something like Teen Talk. We have these two teenage girls from CommuniCon. And that's where they just open up the mics on air live, and just they just want to talk about what they're into. And it's not even necessarily about concerns like, you know, this is an important issue. It's about things like people that are growing or just dealing with, like, you know, form versus content, or nurture versus nature, and things that they're dealing with in school, and then trying to relate it back to their lives. For the alternative school, the Youngsville Alternative School group. After a while, it was hard to teach the nuts and bolts of radio somewhat. The important thing became for Kevin and me just to start showing them people who enjoy what they do in life. Because it's a group of kids that they've like I've said, they've set up this shield to kind of protect themselves. So they come in with this attitude, they're not interested in anything at all. We had like a string quartet tuning up one day, and they came in. They're like, "What's this crap? You know, these guys are horrible." I'm like, "You go tell them that. You know, these people do what they enjoy doing for their lives. You know." And so Kevin really consciously started picking interviews with people that enjoy what they're doing. And the important thing had become to produce something for the radio then, but to give this group of people, you know, something that'll help them in their lives more so than just something that they can learn as a skill. So that's what they're kind of.
Just Danielle, did you have
a question? I just wanted to actually respond to a bunch of people's concerns about turnover, because I've been working with a group called Radio Girl for about 3 years now in Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, and it's about 4 years old. And turnover, I would say, is the biggest issue, and I keep hearing over and over, so I'd like to share just how we've dealt with that problem. Here's my philosophy on turnover and working with youth, because
because really when it comes down to it, I feel like, you know, youth aren't all that different than adults, but we treat them like they're different. And one thing that young people are programmed by adults to do is to rely on adults to be the bottom line in terms of responsibility. And so they've learned that in school, they've learned that everywhere they work. And it took me a long time to figure this out. I used to work with young people and they'd always like wait for me to lead them and to facilitate and to be the bottom line. And I actually had a big revelation when I basically went on strike. I told them I was going on strike. I was like, I'm not serving you anymore. Like, I'm going on strike. Y'all do the show, and if you don't do the show, it doesn't happen. And everything changed at that point. Everything at Radio Girl changed. The girls totally got on board. They totally took over. It was like, you know, I basically instigated this coup where they took over the show. And they wanted me to run the board, even though they knew how to run the board. They wanted me to do the technical stuff. Instead of trying to figure out a problem, the first thing they do is say, Danielle, help, come over here, help me do this thing. So one thing I would strongly recommend is you set up the folks to with the tools and the knowledge, and then you transition yourself out of it. And you do things like, the way I did it is, I had the girls, I had given them all the training, they knew how to do everything, we did production meetings, and then one week I didn't show up to production meeting. And then the next week I said, you know, I don't really feel good, I'm not going to be in the studio today, could you host the show? And then I sat outside the show and wait and watched them. And, you know, I kept like basically doing things where I would step myself out of the picture, because you do have to be there holding everything together at the beginning or else, you know, there's dead air. But you can slowly transition yourself out of the picture until I one day called up the show and said, hey, I'm not coming to the show. Have a good time. I'll listen from home. And they did the show. And what happened as a result of that is we had about 12 girls involved, which is too much, way, way too much. And it got down to about four or five. It was actually five core girls. And they were so, they knew that they were the bottom line. And they knew that if they didn't produce something, there was dead air. And they felt totally responsible for it. And they totally took over. For about the last year and a half, these girls have, like, I literally am not involved. Like, it's not even my show anymore. I don't even listen sometimes. I'm out of town sometimes. And they make the show happen. And they call me if they need help. You know, and I gave them another list of numbers for technical help. So that's one thing I recommend, is that it's really easy to kind of be in a position where you feel responsible for the young people. And I think it's really important to get over it and to actually get out of the studio and to actually go down the street and have a cup of coffee during the show. And you got to do it that way, because you can't tell the girls, hey, I'm not going to be around, because then they get really nervous and freaked out. So instead I do these things where I'm like, I'm going to go get a cup of coffee, I'll be back, you know? And so they would go. The second thing I learned is that junior high school and high school are really different, and it sounds like you all already figured this out. And so it didn't work to have that mix very well. It ended up being a teenager group rather than young and older girls. The third thing was that eventually what has happened is that the girls have felt so responsible for the show that they're totally stressed out. And so we now have a new facilitator who basically gives the girls shorter periods of time they're responsible for. So this new woman is, you know, takes the hour-long show and she basically fits girls in like 5 or 10 minute pieces so that they don't feel like they're responsible for the whole show. So I think I kind of threw them in the water, and then after about a year and a half, they kind of burnt out because they were so responsible for the show that we had to take a step back and have somebody who was helping to facilitate. So I would say it's every other week for an hour. And one other thing is that you can bring in, like, if you have a core set of kids and they are the people who are producing the show, and they really need to feel that. They really need to feel like if that you aren't going to show up and that they got to do the show. That's important. But they can actually invite other kids in and host those kids. So you can have turnover and you can have guests, and they'll have other kids in as guests. Or they'll find out about a literary group and have them come in and read their poems. And that group comes in only for that one week. But you know what? Usually what happens is one of the girls in that group decides that they really like it and they stay on for a while. So it's also a way of recruiting girls is to have like your core group and then have guests and visitors, and then those people kind of start sticking on to the
I got a few questions for you.
Sure.
This makes a lot of sense what you're saying. You say you go every other week, so I'm assuming you're talking about a live program.
It's a live program. We don't actually, the girls pre-record some things. They do like they did a satire of the Bush-Gore debates, which will make you piss your pants. It's so funny. And they pre-recorded that, and they also did Spiffy the Sperm and Esmeralda the Egg, which was a spoof on all the things they were being taught about birth control. So, but yeah, most of it's live.
You know, I almost exclusively everything we do is pre-recorded, so this sounds like the nature of having the people go on air live is another way of doing what you're saying, which is giving the opportunity to place more responsibility or more of a, you know, more of an urgency to actually be involved in the participants.
Yeah,
what's the show called?
It's called Radio Girl.
So I'm, because I was just thinking about this now as you're talking, I was just like, I'm like, maybe we really ought to have like one show set aside where the kids can do this live. But then I thought, like, if we call it like, you know, Sullivan Youth Radio, is that another way of just kind of relegating them to that role of, you know, being youth? Because I do believe in like relating to people is like, you know, as if I relate to them a certain way, I think I would relate to them the same way that they were an adult and we're talking in a way we're talking.
I think that maybe you learn from how you set it up that perhaps next time you do a youth program, you know, maybe you can sort of set it up from the beginning that, okay, you guys are going to be responsible for the show and I will not be there.
Well, I did tell them that, but they never, it's like I could tell them it, but they didn't feel it. But I kept saying, I'm not going to be here soon, you know, this is your show, but.
But still, I mean, then there comes a point where all of us had to just sort of jump in the fire, even though we had all of our skills, and it was like, or not the fire, into the pool, and it's like, wow, I really do know how to swim,
exactly.
You know, and so you did that. But, you know, as far as leaving them alone, I mean, I know this may be obvious, but, you know, our station is actually in a pretty big drug corridor, and it's not safe, and so what we're proposing for a youth time would be an evening show, and I just feel strongly that someone's going to have to be down at the station, because it's not
well, hang out at the door and drink a cup of coffee.
Right,
you know,
and so, I mean, if it's business hours, that, you know, there's always going to be people around, but, you know, and I don't think it needs to be the person who's producing the show, but maybe, you know, just, like, delegate it to volunteers, you know. Okay, somebody sign up for being down at the station, and actually, there's a guy, George, who basically lives there anyway, so he's probably anyway, I was just thinking out loud about that. But
with our youth group at KGNU, a lot of them had come in and already gotten some experience, and then it was, oh, okay, let's finally harness this and do a youth show. And they just were like, nope, we don't want the adults around. And the reason we are looking at trying to get some money and maybe pay somebody to help coordinate it really has to do with the attracting new people, because, of course, Mel Geiser just graduated last year, and the core of the group's going to be graduating this year, so we're going through that. Right. But like you were saying about the alternative high school, we're very lucky that we have a cool school in our area, and they're going to be doing the training through the school that we hope will bring in some new people, or at the very least give them the talents to do it.
I don't know if you've seen this Let Voices Speak. I don't know if you have that. I mean, it's really good. It's a good model of producing youth radio programs, and there's so many models and so many ways of doing it. And again, we have like three different forms of it on our radio station. The one that, like, I think the Radio Girl, that's probably what we're doing on once a month on a Sunday evening. They get an hour and a half, and they do predominantly, they have a lot of call-ins. And it started off slow, and it was them kind of, you know, as an adult, it would make you cringe, you know, you turn off. But, you know, there's kids out there listening, and we were really, I think one evening there was a girl that came in to the studio, and she kind of walked right into the studio and was joining them, and someone walked right up to a microphone, and I thought, oh, this is their guest, you know, I didn't think much of it. And after the show, finally I see this one girl finally disappear. And after the show, they said, no, she just came into the studio. She just wanted to be part of the show. We awesome. Didn't know who she was. So it was kind of a shock for me. I thought it was a planned thing, but it wasn't. But yes, they do this teen show that they do it themselves. They come up with the topics. They play their favorite songs, and then they start taking phone calls, and they start talking issues. Things that are happening in school, things that are, you know, happening with teenagers' lives and stuff like that.
Things that young people are learning. It's like, it is true. It's like, and I've come on sometimes and just talked to them because I like people like trying to figure out the world. But a lot of the things are just things like, if you're older, you're just like, you know, why are you talking about this? Well, it's really important because that's what they're doing. They're at that stage where they're learning about just things in the universe, and it's really great. And the kids really are listening out there and calling in, whether it's their friends or people happen to catch. And every once in a while, an adult who's like encouraged by this conversation, people actually questioning things.
Can I preface one thing though? This thing you really must know about this particular two kids. They're very precocious. Okay. The one is at the Forest Burke Theater. She's doing a play. So they're very accomplished kids as well.
Mm-hmm. I just have two questions that might be helpful to everyone here who's trying to start a youth program. One, recommendations for funding. We had one suggestion from you. If anyone else has gotten grants or anything like
the,
that,
the Youth Bureau is known.
And then also is recommendations for recruitment.
Do you mind just one thing before
sure,
we get
sure.
off this topic
okay.
of what our role is,
sure.
and then we can go back to funding?
Okay.
Thanks. I
sure,
appreciate
sure.
it. I just wanted to make this point. I really appreciate, Danielle, that you brought this up. I'm glad that you did, because I did want to talk a little bit about what is our role in facilitating this, because...
What station are you from?
KCSB. Sorry,
correct,
I forgot my name tag. Because, you know, to me... The way that I'm coming at this is that,
Just 15 more minutes, I'm reading this to you guys.
Thanks. Sure. Something that we talk about as community radio producers is, the mainstream media produces in people this idea of objectivity, and that only experts can talk about issues, and that you have to be a professional to be able to do anything. And and so our role is to break that down. Well, there are people who are on the receiving end of that consciousness very heavily, and young people are constantly told, your views don't matter. And something that I got a lot in my project was a lot of the students, especially the young women, with I don't want to listen to it. I can't do this. Oh, I don't like my voice. Oh, it's so bad. Oh, I can't do this. And like, I think it's really important that we are constantly thinking about our role there in that situation, and helping them get past that and use this project, use this experience of producing their own media as a way of confronting that problem. And I just, I think that youth and age, that's a question of diversity as well. Why have a youth radio show if we're community radio? For example, one of the students who I worked with this summer is now training on our training studio, and he's going to do a music show in the fall. And I'm working with a 70-year-old person on news, and I'm one of this feminist collective that I'm trying to, that some few friends of mine and I are getting together for the fall. We're hoping to get a lot of the younger women that I worked with this summer. And so while we're talking about youth radio projects specifically right now, I also would like to just challenge us all to, think about the way we conceive of, youth versus adult. And just, we really do need to be aware that we are in positions in these relationships where they're going to look to us just because, as Danielle said, they're used to that, and they're told, that this is someone in authority and this person knows better than you. And I think it's so important to remember that this experience is something that they can use to break that break that myth down in their own lives.
I mean, I think the whole point of projects like this is empowerment of the youth.
Right.
And, like,
exactly.
Teaching them how to confront, you know, a fear and being able to, wow, I can get around. Okay, basic one, having a fear on the mic. Wow, I did it and it sounded okay.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to plan my own show. Wow, I picked, you know, 40 minutes of music and it all sounded good. And it's like confronting one step after another. You know, and I did it myself. And I think, you know, that's a really mm-hmm. great point. And I think that really is the point of programs of any medium like this.
Absolutely.
It's just empowerment and giving teaching skills to become an adult and to be independent thinkers.
Heather, did you just want
to? Well, I just wanted to kind of comment, add on to what both of you just said. Mm-hmm. And somebody asked the question earlier. I don't know who it was, but it was along the lines of who's the audience? You know, who, when we're talking about youth radio and youth radio projects, who do we want to tune in and who are we gearing that towards? And one of the things that I kept on coming back to is the balance between the emphasis on the process versus the emphasis on the product. And I think that, at least through my experience, the ultimate emphasis is coming down to the process, and it is about that empowerment, not like, ultimately, how is this going to sound, and let's spend a lot of time reflecting on that. But, you know, when you're in the mix and when you're talking about just handing the mic over and empowering somebody and saying, this is your voice, go for it. And so I think that I don't have an answer to that question, who is the audience or who should the audience be, but I think that it's really important to always kind of be aware of that balance, process versus product, and err on the side of process, because I think that that's ultimately mm-hmm. the most empowering thing. And the product will come then if the process is mm-hmm. rewarding. So I just wanted to kind of...
Yeah.
I have a question before you all leave. One of the things that kind of, and I want you to tell me if this is true or if this is just perceived as an adult, but you know, 20 years ago when most of the community radio stations across the country began, everybody was 17 and 18 years old, and there wasn't a special youth program.
Yeah.
You were given the mic. And so I think we're creating this, quote, youth programming medium and not letting people just go right onto the air like they did 20 years ago. So is there any resentment or kind of, you know, feeling, does anyone of you young people who are, you know, I mean, youth to me is a 16-year-old, you know, somebody that might need guidance, somebody still in high school, but if you're 17, 18, you're picking up a gun and going to fight, there's no reason why you can't pick up a mic and speak for goodness sakes without somebody holding your hand. So, I mean, is this a perception as an adult that I have looking back? Like, I wouldn't want to be pigeonholed that way.
I don't think it's so much pigeonholing. Well, if it's done too constrictively, it can
right.
be, but I think a lot of it, as much as, in all honesty, I can see how this could happen. As much as some teens want to say adults don't know anything, I think they really are passing on some of the knowledge that they had to work through trial and error. And some of this knowledge can help us get through it a lot quicker and maybe move on to better things than the adults even got to. So it's really a good thing in a sense. As long as it's not done too controlling.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise it just becomes, well, this is how I did it,
right.
You're going to do it the same way.
Can I quickly add something? We also do, some of the DJs do one thing, that they invite kids, though their show is not like purely like kids show or a youth show. One show I can think top of my mind is that we have a radio theater show where high school and junior high kids come and read live on the air with the host and, like, you know, poetry or fiction or anything, just read something. Then another show we have, an environmental show, it's called Prairie Monk. So the guy, he just walks all over town and with kids and take a disc and record that. Mostly high school kids goes with that, and then they invite them on the show. So things like that. And another, like the gospel show that we have on Sunday morning, it's like a madhouse during Sunday like morning. Like all the kids there, and it's basically like 5 to 15 years old. So they also invite them. So we don't really have a, other than the Radio Girl show that Danielle mentioned, we don't really have any other show, but there are like other ways that we can involve youth and kids, things like that. And also we have a children's music section that has, if people have access to all the CDs, so if somebody wants to play music like that, they can also play in their show. So that's, I think, another way. Just, you don't really need like a show to do things like that. You can incorporate with other things. So maybe that's another way to look at it.
I'd like to kind of continue what Joanne's saying. It's like with any other kind of thing where you're trying to have programming to welcome people in or empower them. It's a balance between doing that and marginalizing them through doing that. And it's a balance. It's same thing. You know, we have Women's Programming Month at the radio station. You know, and I'm like, you know, to what extent are you countering, you know, the absence of women in a male-dominated music industry? To what extent are you perpetuating that by just, you know, saying here's women in music? It's the same thing with the youth. I don't think you ask them for resentment. Like, I don't know if there's room for that at WJFF. WJFF tends to be, it's a rather graying set, you know.
It's across the board there.
Yeah.
It's across the board, but I mean, I'm the youngest weekly programmer there.
How old are you?
I'm 24.
Yeah.
And when I came in, the next youngest one was 36. Mm. You know, so.
I don't know about that.
Dan, how old is Dan, you know? When I came in 2 years ago, Dan's like
13. Well, you were 11 when you were working.
So, but you know what I'm saying? It's like it would be nice if there was, there's not too many people my age, and then like the next generation under me that are just walking in the station picking up the mic. And I look at this as a way of doing this now, so that we start to reflect another aspect of the community that we're not reflecting. Like anything else I want to do at the station, not doing it because it's these people. And they have issues, but doing it because they're in the community. And those people in the community need to get involved in the radio station. And the more we have programming that reflects that part of the community, they'll do it in that way. So for now, you know, I think it's kind of necessary.
You can ask this. You're at WJFF, right? How old are you?
I'm 16 now.
16 now. Could you now become a regular air shifter? What do you call it, broadcaster? Why would he not become?
I've been doing the shift there actually for the past couple months.
Yeah.
Sunday mornings. In fact, this is my morning usually. I've been doing a shift there. I haven't done my own show per se, but I've been doing station breaks and stuff between other feeds, etc.
But you could do your own show. I mean, that's what you want to do. If I got used to it
and like wanted to put all that time into it, sure, as long as the committee and stuff approved it, I'm sure I could. It's just a matter of getting the material, getting things ready, and being totally prepared to do it. Otherwise, it'd make it tough on the station if like you did one and then dropped it, because they'd have to fill an hour gap or so.
What I want to say is I think this raises a larger issue of how we program our stations, because I know at WORT we're in our 27th year, and we have a lot of programmers that have been there 20, 25, 27 years that probably were in their 20s or teens when they started the radio station, and they're still doing their shows, or some variation on a show. And so we have this, you can apply it to youth, or you can apply it to, like, we recently started a Spanish language news program because Madison has a growing Latino community, and so we were able to start a program in Spanish as part of a pre-existing program that already existed. Otherwise, that wouldn't have happened because there wouldn't have been the space. Mm-hmm. And so I think that this touches on those kinds of larger issues. Like, we have our program schedule, and it's very set. And so we have a programming committee, but, you know, and so we hear these proposals, and I sit around the committee as news director, but there's this model of, well, we don't want to piss anyone off, and we don't, you know, people are really committed to their shows, and that's great, because, you know, we want to provide that form for people, but at what extent, you know, how do you balance that with having flexibility to bring on new voices? And, you know, there's a certain, like, I remember when I was in high school, actually, I had a friend that volunteered at KFAI in Minneapolis, and he got a show there, and I remember distinctly talking with him about it. He said, oh, well, it's really hard to get a show there. You only get a show when someone dies. And then eventually I moved to Madison and started being involved with WORT, and I find that it is kind of true. That people have to.
We always said, die or move to California.
Yeah, have the mentality about doing programming. And it's very frustrating for me because I want to see us at our station get more voices and more perspectives on the radio, and that's really hard. So I think for us, in our situation, of trying to raise the issue of youth radio, and what we're doing with this youth radio week is trying to get our programmers that are on the air to team up with youth to kind of develop this community-wide sense of how important it is for us as a station to have these voices on the air, so that when we come to programmers and when we're trying to find a space for youth radio program, you know, we don't have everyone flipping out because, you know, they're going to lose a half hour of their show or whatnot.
I'd like to see at the next grassroots radio conference this dealt with, because it's an issue for all of us in a big way.
Yeah.
And this is especially because, you know, it's really an issue, so I put in my vote that it'd be a topic at the next GRC.
Can I respond to that for a second?
Well, you should someone be on for 25 years.
We have
the graying of the station.
We don't really, like I said, the graying of the station is just the people that happen to be there now, but at our little station, we've got a lot of room to expand, because we've got a lot of NPR programming, and we've got nothing going on nighttime, you know, after midnight.
Right, you've got
We've got room.
Come on in.
Is there anything we can do to wrap this up? Because we've got
Do you know? We did bring a clip of a piece that.
But people want to listen to it on their own.
And just what I apologize. I know you don't want to talk about funding. That's all right. I'll just go on the right. And also, I know you're there are lots of resources.
We're kind of discussing her.